In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 298, stanza 3. 298, stanza 3. I have to do some adjusting here again because I'm almost swallowing this thing here. All right. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, both tomorrow morning and also this evening, I want to lead you into some of the wisdom that is to be found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Tomorrow morning, I hope to look with you at what the Lord has in store for us in terms of the future. And this evening hour, we want to consider particularly what the Lord has to say about time. And then particularly what the Lord has to say about time past. We also have a very thought-provoking text before us. And that is what I must consider with you this evening hour. Ecclesiastes 3, the verse 15b in particular. And that says that God requires an account of what is past. And on the basis of these words, I want to declare to you the unchanging God at the passing of time. The unchanging God at the passing of time. And in the first place, I want to consider with you His concern for us. His concern for you and for me. And then secondly, I want to consider His conduct towards us. So first then, His concern, and then secondly, His conduct. Now congregation, let me just give you an example that all of us will understand, no doubt, also our boys and girls. On a clear, cold day, you might see a jet airplane high in the sky, trailing a white line of exhaust. Now, keep that picture in mind. Now, if you would take a pair of binoculars and would carefully look at this white line as it comes out of this jet plane, then you will notice very quickly that this white exhaust is actually forced out from those jet engines. They are driven back, they are driven away, and after a while, this white line in the sky begins to break up, and eventually it evaporates into thin air. Well now, a very similar idea is expressed here in our text with these words, what is past? You could also interpret it in this way, that which is driven back, that which is driven away. In fact, if you have a study Bible at hand, then you can look it up, and it says in the marginal notes, it will say, that which is driven away. So, then again, keep the picture in mind of this jet plane and with its exhaust coming out of it, its white line of exhaust. Well then, what is past and what is driven back and driven away? Now, according to our text chapter, it speaks about seasons and certain events. And all of them have their moments in time. All of them have their scene on the stage of life under heaven, as we read here in this chapter 3. There is, so we are told, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted, and so on. And with that, our text chapter then speaks about seasons and events that roll on in time. It describes for us this restless cycle of life. Moments of happiness are pushed back by moments of sadness, and it sort of goes on and on and on like that throughout life. And no doubt you too have experienced it in one way or the other. Those moments then of happiness and of sadness, they come and they go. We pass through them and they pass through us. And as we live on, all of those moments and events become past moments and past events. But what you and I need to know, congregation, is that those moments and those events don't just ride past us. No, they are driven past us. They are driven away from us. They are pushed. They are forced through us. And they are pushed away from us, like that white line from the jet engines. And what is it then? What is it that forces those various moments and those various events of life through us and behind us? Time, dear people. Time. Time, you see, is the restless or relentless pusher and driver that pushes us forward and drives the various moments and events away from us. Time is therefore the great chaser away, if we want to call it that. It hurries and it chases both the precious moments and also the sad moments of life behind us and away from us, till they are driven away, till they are gone from us, and have, as it were, evaporated into thin air. Meanwhile, time also propels us forward, and it hurries us on towards eternity. It hurries us on towards our destiny, our end. And time is very quickly driving this year, 2015, away from us, you and me. Soon, also, the year 2015 will be like that white line behind this jet engine in the sky, breaking up and evaporating. Time is the relentless pusher and driver. And we must often say and confess as well that we have time against us, which means, dear people, that most often time has become our enemy. Time has become our enemy. Now, it was not always that way. When God created the heavens and the earth and all the beautiful things and all the creatures connected with it, God also created time. Then time was good for all of creation. Everything had to grow, you see, and develop, and it had to come to full bloom and maturity and full wisdom. God created time so that man and all of creation could then also gradually, each at its own pace, develop the point of greatest abundance and capable of the highest praises for its creator. You see, time was then with us. Time was then our friend. Time would lead us onward towards the full beauty of eternal life with a triune God. But sin has come in between, hasn't it? And it has broken our communication with the Lord our God. It has also broken that pace of development towards full and abundant life. In fact, it has reversed the order. Instead of heading towards eternal life, man is now headed towards eternal death. And since that time, time has become man's enemy. And time has entered into the surface of death. You see, by our sin, Time has become the instrument which has the power of death. And man, who was once able to serve and be served through time in a beautiful way, has now, through his sin, become the slave of time. Again, time is now against us, isn't it? We are living in a world of this sort of time. The passing of the year 2015 marks the world as one step closer to its end and destruction. And we who live in time, how is it with us, you and me? Where are we headed? In a physical sense, how often don't we wish that we could prevent time from rushing on? If we could only stop the clock every once in a while. Youth, soon its flower is gone. Middle age, its strength soon fades. Before long, we are old, the body is bent, the face is marked, the hair is thin and has grayed. The signs are all there, aren't they? That time has taken its toll. And soon the last day will also come for us as well. And then time will place us in the grave. And we, you and I, will be like that white trail coming from that jet engine, breaking up and evaporating. Moses speaks of this in such a graphical way in Psalm 90, the verses 9 and 10. For all our days, so he says, all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Again, time pushes on. It drives the past away from us. And some of us will ask, where are those years when I was still young, when I was still strong, when I was still healthy? Where is the time gone? When mom and dad were still around and I could sit down with them and speak with them again? Where's the time gone when I could take my little girl on my lap and tell her of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now she's gone into the world. Where's the time gone when I could talk with my son about sin and about forgiveness and see him move through such a talk? Now he's beyond my reach, perhaps hardened, perhaps headed towards self-destruction. Oh, if I could only stop the clock for just a little while. If I could just slow down time for a bit so that I could catch up with my boy or with my girl. So that I could speak to them again and speak to them about the eternal values that God has placed in His holy word. And then, what about me? Where is time gone for me? What hasn't it driven away from me? Where is the time of my first love? Where's that stage when my spirit seemed so alive and my heart could rejoice in God my Savior? Where's that time when I could be so moved under the preaching of the gospel? Time has moved on. And it seems also that my senses are dulled and my emotions have died. Nothing moves me too easily anymore, no. I'm not all that quickly stirred anymore. time has driven that away. You see, dear people, time has often now conditioned us. It has sort of put a shell around us. It has hardened us. We have now become set in our ways, haven't we? And we are stuck in our habits that we have formed. We do things now because it has become our custom. Time has taken its toll. And we see this all around us, don't we? In the creation of all things, in our physical existence, and last also, in our spiritual makeup. Most often time has been against us, breaking down, phasing out, chasing away, and evaporating that which was once a sign of hope for most of us. For most of us, maybe for all of us, time has been hard on us, hasn't it? Well, now, what should we say about this? Can we blame God for this? I wouldn't dare. No, we can't blame God for this, because as you have heard already, God once created time in order that it could do us good service. But as you've heard, the reason why time has turned against us is because of our sin. We've listened to the devil. And God is concerned, dear people, also tonight, that we recognize this, especially this hour. Our sins have turned time against us. Through our own fault, you see, we lost that life of paradise. We lost our eternal youth. We lost our health. We lost our spiritual prosperity. We lost our spiritual contacts. We lost our bliss. We lost our peace with God. And now, instead of high praises to the Lord our God, God expects nothing else from fallen mankind than the lament, "We are consumed, our days are past in your wrath." Now, this may seem like a rather bleak perspective, but this, nevertheless, is the reality of time. And God's concern is this, dear people, that we learn to see time in this light. His concern is that we, by seeing time take its toll on us, we would begin to humble ourselves before God and confess this to God, how we ourselves have turned time against us. It is God's concern, you see, that tonight we, instead of blaming God for all the bad times that we have experienced, we confess to Him our sins. And again, no, it's not God who is to be blamed for the bad times that we have experienced and perhaps still experience presently. He is not to be blamed for the time that has been hard on us. He is not to be blamed for what we are heading towards, a breakdown and dust and evaporation. He is not to be blamed for that. It is not God's fault, you see, that man's days are now like a flower of the field which flourishes one day, but is soon withered again and its place will be found no more. It's not God's fault. And dear people, in order to prove that it is not God's fault, I want to speak to you in the second place of His conduct towards us. His conduct towards us. Now we read here in our text that God requires an account of what is past. This can also be translated in the following way, that God seeks that which is driven away. God seeks that which is driven away. Now, this is actually a beautiful description of the conduct of God towards us. Well, what does it mean then, you might ask? Listen carefully. While time is busy forging ahead, speeding us towards destruction, pushing our past away from us at the same time, driving our happenings and driving our events away from us so that they will eventually break up and evaporate from us, God is doing something else. God is calling them forward again, requiring them to give an account. God is seeking that which has been driven away. In other words, God brings the past to the present again. And this is also why it says earlier in our text verse, that which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. We sometimes say, well, that opportunity is lost for good. Never will that chance come to me again. That experience will never return again. That time is gone forever. That is what we might say. God says this hour, no, it is not that way. Time may be working against you, working towards your death and towards your destruction. But I, so God says, I am working the other way. I am working towards your life and towards your personal salvation. I'm working, as it were, against time. I, as your God, am requiring that which was past. I'm recalling, I'm calling to an account the things which have happened in the past and the things which time has driven away. I want them up front again. Well, now you might ask, well, how does God do this? Well, let me give you some examples. You are concerned, perhaps, that the opportunities to do good in the past have slipped away from you. You are concerned that you have bungled up the chance and opportunity to speak seriously and earnestly with your child or your children about the way of salvation, about the sin and the forgiveness to be found in Jesus Christ. You're concerned that that time is past. Well, God says to you this hour, I will require what is past. I will give you such an opportunity again. I will bring that which is past to the front again. I will give you other chances. Now, dear people, if you are really troubled about having neglected past opportunities to do what you should have done, and isn't this something that troubles many of us? And me too. I wish I could have done what I know now at that time. But at the same time, God wants to give us such like opportunities again. And isn't that a wonderful news? Perhaps your distress is that you have not, in your younger days, listened more seriously to gospel preaching. You have not earnestly engaged in prayer. You have not really considered to study the Word of God at all or in serving the Lord God. And you feel that because you have neglected that in earlier days, you are now stuck with a heart that doesn't want to change. You're stuck with your feelings of bitterness, perhaps, criticals of others, who are free with the Lord. Well, now God is bringing the opportunity back again to you as well in order to correct what you neglected in the past. God is bringing back to you the time for you to become a serious listener to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ again. For you to become serious in engaging in prayer towards the Lord God. For you to become earnest in studying that word of God again and listening to that word and responding positively to it. Perhaps you are thinking at this moment, you know, I've lost the chance to be saved while I was young. I went into the world, I spent my strength and my money and all my valuable time living it up. I didn't watch my drinking habits. I didn't mind getting high on drugs once in a while. I didn't resist when my friend says, go on, do it, everyone does it. And now I'm a wreck, physically and spiritually. I lost my chance to be saved. My friend, God says, no, no. He is bringing past time back. He is giving you another opportunity to go differently. He is giving you the opportunity to repent and to confess sins of youth, remember not, nor my trespasses record. He is giving you another chance to plead His mercy and to call upon His grace and to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is giving you another chance to make amends, to do what you did not do then, to stop doing what you did then. God requires, God calls, He seeks for that which is past. Now, there's also another side to our text as well. When you read, God requires an account of what is past. In other words, God calls the past to account. And so let's just explore that for a moment. What has the Lord done for you in the past? What sort of dealings has He had with you in the past? What sort of blessings have you experienced from Him? How has His word spoken to you in the past? How has His love, how has His mercy been experienced to you in earlier days? God, through His word and through His spirit, wants you to think about this. Even right now. He wants to call the past to account in order to tell you very personally that He has been a merciful God to you in the past. And if He has been in the past, He will do so again, even today. You see, God has not forsaken, He has not abandoned the work that He has begun. And in this respect, you can read of verse 14 in our text chapter. It tells us, whatever God does, it shall be forever. Whatever God does, it shall be forever. And so God requires an account of what is past. What about the warnings then that have come to you in the past? What about those serious calls which you have had? Perhaps even some very close calls, which time has done its best to drive away from you and to lead you to forget them. God brings them back again, and He brings them to the present again. The losing of your wife, your husband, your child, how you wanted to be at peace with God, the terrible accident that you escaped from, the dreadful disease that you were healed from. You remember yet that you promised that you would give your life, that you would give your heart, that you would give your love to the Lord God if He would heal you? What has become of it? God is calling the past to account. Have you done what you've promised? Have you given of yourself as you said you would? You see, God, by His Word and by His Holy Spirit, is, as it were, putting the day of past visitations right up to the present again. And He asks you, very personally, how is it presently with you? How is it presently with you? How have those past blessings, how have those past warnings, how have they worked out in you and worked out for you? Have they left lasting impressions with you for your spiritual well-being? You understand by now, I trust, that although time may have driven much away into the past, where it sort of breaks up and fades and evaporates, God does exactly the opposite. He brings them to the present again, and He gives you to think about it. He brings it to the foreground again, and He gives it as fresh memory for you, as if the past is right here again in front of you. And also tonight, God's Spirit puts all of 2015 before us again. All of His Word that you have encountered in these past 365 days. All of the sermons that you have heard for these last 52 Sundays and a few in between. What impact has it had on you? What impact? Have they brought a change in your life? Have they? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit tells us that when the Word of God goes forth, it never returns back to God without having accomplished something. What has it accomplished in you? Have you perhaps hardened yourself more and more under the preaching of the Word? Or have you submitted to the Spirit and obeyed it to the saving of your life? Today, God requires the past. He calls the past to give an account. But at the end of time, you know, God will also call to have you give an account of what you have done with time and what opportunities you have misused, or what opportunities you have used in terms of the Word of God. Today, this evening, God's conduct towards you is still one of mercy and of grace. Even though time wants to do you in, even though time is busy propelling you towards eternity, regardless of whether you are really prepared for it, God wants it different for you. He wants you to be well prepared for eternity. He doesn't want you to plunge headlong into death and into destruction. He wants you to be saved in time. You see, and this is also why He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, whose birth we have just been able to celebrate again. And this, dear people, this is God's conduct towards us. Even during these last few hours of this last day, 2015, God is holding up before us His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior for time and for eternity. Now, you and I, we may have messed up badly in terms of time in this life. You and I, we may have misused much or all of the time that God has given to us. But tonight, God is willing to change all that for you and for me. Even God is willing to change because He is a merciful God. And He is asking you, therefore, yet at this moment to look to His Son, and that you would fall in love with Him if you have never done so before, and that you would begin to have a need for the Lord Jesus Christ, even as you always thought you did not need Him. Tonight, God is asking you to repent of your sin, my friend, to come back from your wayward wanderings and from your careless life. God is asking you yet at this moment that you would find salvation from your sin in the Son, His beloved Son, whom He has given freely. And this Son of God, He died on the cross in order to have people save their lives. And this same Son of God, you see, He went through hell in order to keep people like you from going to hell. And tonight, His Holy Spirit wants to use this timely opportunity yet to have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this precious Savior. Hasn't time been enough proof that you couldn't keep clean, that you could not keep sinless, that you could not keep pure on your own? Hasn't time past proven to you that it is rough, isn't it, to be on your own? And that it is really impossible to live a good and moral life on your own? So why not take the opportunity which God gives you and which the Holy Spirit is offering to you tonight to entrust yourself to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? To go yet to Him at this moment before the clock strikes 12. That you think about what you need to do and that you go in earnest prayer for mercy and for forgiveness. Why not let the Word and the Holy Spirit lead you to come to peace with God, your Creator, young and old? See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is so willing to arrange this peace with you personally. He is. He stands, as it were, before you in the garment of the Word. And He stands there as a mediator between a holy God and a sinful man like you and I. But you see how He stands there? He stands there with arms stretched out towards you, my friend. And the words fall from His sweet lips like words of honey when He says, "Come to me. Come to me." And then He promises that when you do, you'll be with Him in glory. When time will be no more. Amen.